Well, now we come to the second reading. It's a letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. I'm going to start a couple of verses early because they set the stage for us better than if we don't listen to them. So it starts off, well, actually, I should have remembered this. You see, it starts off, dia tutto, because of this reason. Well, what's the reason? So I'm just going to read a little bit of that, and then we'll start on the text. Okay. See, the verses 3 to 14 in this Ephesians 1 is absolutely, it's a hymn, and it's beautiful. Now, I don't have time to do the whole thing, but I could just, you see. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all blessing, spiritual blessing, in the heavenly places in Christ, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and spotless in his sight in love. What a vocation, right? That's why God created us and chose us from all eternity. They're going to hear about my son, you see, in whom we have the apolitrosis, the ransoming of our sins through his blood, and the forgiveness of our transgressions according to the riches of his grace. And he goes on like that. And then you see, finally, I'm skipping because I got, it's not part of my job right now. And so, in whom you, hearing the word of truth, that is, the gospel of salvation, received, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, the promise, who is the aravon, the down payment on our inheritance. It's because of this that I thank God, you see. Aravon, suppose I say, I'd like to buy your car. And you say, okay, $14,000. I say, that's a ripoff. That's not worth $14,000, but I'll take it. Okay, here's $5,000. I'll be back. That's aravon. So the Holy Spirit, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Here is my Holy Spirit to live in you, to move in you, to enlighten you, to protect you. I'll be back. That's just the pledge of what I'm going to do for you. So it's because of that that he says here, for this reason, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, faith and love here, you see, making mention of you whenever I pray. And now, what's the object of his prayer? Listen. Listen. Because it's so important. What is he praying for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You hear? Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, Spirit. It's the Trinity. And yet, even in the Trinity, it's the Father, Principium Deitatis, you see. Give you the Spirit, capital S, of wisdom and revelation in knowing him. What a gift, right? What is he praying for us? That we'll know God. That we'll know the Father. So that if somebody comes up and says, do you know God the Father? Yeah, I know God the Father. Why? Because the Spirit of wisdom and revelation has made him known to me. That's the work of the Spirit. Now Paul goes on to describe that work. This is such a packed text, you see, and it's a mystical text. And he's writing to the folks in Ephesus, good Christians, some of them really holy, some have faced danger already, but regular Sunday golfer Christians. And he's saying, you see, this is what God wants to do for you. You see, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Pater Tis Doxis, he's the Father of glory, the source of the kavod, the Father of glory, you see, give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him, to know him. You see, how does that happen? With the eyes of your heart enlightened. Does our heart have eyes? What is he saying? You see, the heart for us is this thing pumping away in here that God is doing it, you know? No, a heart is the very center of our being. It's that place, it's a lovely passage in a work by Robert Schmemann about this. The heart is the place in man which is directly in relation to God. We keep covering it over because we don't want that. We're afraid of it. If I ever saw God, I'd be, I don't know what. You see? So, the eyes of your heart, you see, enlightened. It means your sins forgiven. Now you have confidence in God. You want to see him with your heart. You can't see him with your eyes. You have to see him with your heart. The organ, the spiritual organ, which is at the very, very depth of your personality, where you relate directly to God. But it has to be cleaned up. You see? The eyes of your heart enlightened. Why? So that you know what is the hope of his calling. You look at him with the eyes of your heart and you catch a glimpse of his plan for the whole world and his plan for you. He's saying, do you understand? You, I want you to be with me forever in heaven. That's why you need the eyes of your heart opened up so that you can see what is the hope of his calling. What's the goal of his calling? That's the first thing you want to know, right? Course. Second, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints? So it's the same thing, another. Now it's the wealth, the riches, you see, of this inheritance among the saints. So what's he saying? St. Francis, St. Dominic, Mary the Mother of God, Padre Pio, anybody, they're all your friends. I want you to be among them. And there's no subtle little status in heaven. I'm Padre Pio, you're not. You know, it doesn't happen in heaven. It's all love. You say, phew, I just made it. Padre Pio says, so did I. See what I mean? To know the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. That's with the eyes of your heart open. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But the third one will knock your socks off. So what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us, the believers? And now all the words that indicate power in Greek are all packed into here. You see, the greatness of his power for us, the believers, in keeping with the operation of the might of his strength. You see all these words? Power. For what? For expressing love. Not just, I love you, I change you. Even in this life, I can so open up the eyes of your heart that you see these things, you see? Where you're going. You don't see it like you're going to see it, but you got hope. The hope of his calling. The riches of his glory in the inheritance among the saints. Think about that. Hey, Pio, when did you get here? Oh, well, you see, after I had the stigmata and all that stuff, God called me. And I'm glad you're with me. Isn't that going to be fun? You know? And then, keeping, and this is all going to be in keeping with the operation of the might of his strength. So we got three words already, okay? Let's see, that's five. I got to turn this over to get it, though. Let me see where it is. Well, we'll go on. Oh, here it is. No? Anyway. You see, for us, the believers, that's what faith is all about. Giving us the capacity to yield and to trust and to yield to the power of the Father, changing us. In what he says next in this one, in keeping with the operation of the might of his strength, which he carried out in Christ, raising him from the dead. So the same power is at work in us that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It can change us that much. That's why we have hope, right? You know, if I go to confession tomorrow, and I'm confessing exactly the same stuff in the same way as I was a month ago, there's something wrong. That's not a normal Christian life. We should be moving, changing all the time, because we have the operation of the might of his strength, which he carried out in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in heaven, and so forth. So that's the power at work in us. Isn't that marvelous? He's multiplying word after word to give us the idea. Now, we're going to forget, huh? But then we can remember again. And the key to remembering is prayer. Heart-to-heart prayer. The depth of my being open to the depth of the Father's being. Is that possible? That's what he's talking about, right? I want you to know these things with the eyes of your heart opened. Everybody. The guy who runs the hot dog stand, the bishop, everybody. Know this, okay? It's the same power he raised him from the dead, seating him at his right hand in heaven, far above every sovereignty, authority, power, and dominion, and any other title that can be named. He's above them all. In his humanity, this is the feast of the Ascension. See why he raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand? That's the Ascension, right? Far above every creature, because he is God incarnate. Any title that can be named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. He placed all things under his feet. Where's that come from? Psalm 8, right? What is man that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man? You have made him a little less than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor, and you put all things under his feet. This is all quoted in the letter to the Hebrews. And then that man of faith has the guts to say, because he has faith, we don't see this. Instead of, oh yes, it must be going on now. I don't see it. But we do see Jesus. We see Jesus. We're supposed to, in the eyes of our heart opened, right? We see him, you see, crowned with glory and honor. So that's what he's saying here. So, above all, not only in this age, but in the one to come, he placed all things under his feet, Psalm 8, established him head over all for the church, which is his body. He established him head for the sake of the church, which is his body. Paul is the only one who talks like this. His body. We're his body. That means we're his wife. We're his flesh. See, in 1 Cor 6, when he's talking about don't relate to a prostitute, right? And he says, when he's quoting the, before he says, you become one body with that prostitute. Then he quotes Genesis, that they will cling together, they will be one flesh. See, in Greek and Hebrew, there wasn't a word for, used a lot for body. But we're his wife, we're his body, we're his flesh, we're it. We are his body on earth. And he's done all this, we just read about, for the sake of his church, which is his body. Amen.